I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast is sponsored by Thorpey FX. Thorpey FX offer the best of British boutique effects pedals built to a standard unmatched in their field. And with a comprehensive range of unique and meticulously designed heavy-duty pedals, Thorpey FX have stormed the boutique world. Check them out at thorpeyfx.com, where at the moment there is even a clearance section on their website where you can save some serious money on some of their best effects pedals. Or visit one of the many retailers stocking Thorpey gear worldwide, from Anderton's in the UK to Thomann in Germany, AMS in the USA, Vintage Guitar in Norway, Pedal Empire in Australia, and loads more. ThorpeyFX.com. This week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast is sponsored by Orange Amplifiers and their Tremlord 30 guitar app. A very Orange take on a classic, cool 1950s amplifier. It's a 30-watt 112 all-valve guitar combo with 2-foot switchable valve-driven tremolo speeds and 2-spring reverb tank. Everything you need to deliver high-quality, vintage-inspired, boutique-esque tones in the near-indestructible chassis of an Orange amplifier. Harking back to tremolos made famous in the 50s, the 12AX7 valve-powered tremolo oozes versatility and depth. With crystal clear clarity and buckets of headroom, the Orange Tremolo 30 is the latest in Orange's run of meticulously designed pin drop perfect amplifiers. Visit orangeamps.com/tremlord for a detailed overview, sound samples, and links to dealers worldwide. Hello and are you typing?
Yeah, well, I need to read stuff.
Fine. Hello and welcome to the 229th episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast.
Wait, it's the 229th anniversary.
A seminal, yes. Our 229th.
It's actually the 228th anniversary.
Oh, is it?
Oh,
why?
Yeah, I suppose so.
You take off one. Anyway, this is...
Do you know how I know that? Do you know why that's so prominent? It's because they called WrestleMania 25 the 25th anniversary of WrestleMania, which is wrong. It's actually the 24th
anniversary. Did it really get to you?
Yeah. It just upset me. Yeah.
229, prime number.
Is it?
It is, yeah.
Oh, that's nice. How do prime numbers work?
Prime numbers are only divisible by one and themselves.
You got to pay £79 a year to use them.
Oh, right. It's an Amazon thing. I understand. Yeah, right. Well okay, that well makes done. Sense. Anyway, this is the Guitar Nerds podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branson, joined this week by Jay Cross.
79, also a prime number. I wonder if that's why they chose that price.
Oh. Mark Packham.
Bendy Bananas.
And Matthew Knigget.
Hello.
Who's your mate, Matt? Out there. Can you introduce us?
Can you hear that?
Yeah, I can hear your dog barking.
This is why I shut my windows.
No, it's good. Invite him in.
Yeah, invite the dog in.
Woof, woof, woof. I bet they'll have some really good topics of influence to talk about, such as... Fuzz.
I was trying to think of a dog pun. Nowhere. Anyway, so this week there's some cool things to talk about in the news. We've got a little bit of mailbagging to do, and
why is that funny?
It's not funny. And then me and Matt are going to a festival next week, or this week this week. We're going to Arctangent, the UK's number one avant-garde music festival.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be great. We're going to watch Meshuggah. Isn't that right, Matty?
Oh, I can't wait.
Great festival for guitar brands.
Jay's just got to blow up. So just to paint the picture, Jay's flat, all around Jay's flat, pretty much in every room, he's got these like candles that cost about
scented 50 quid.
Yeah.
They're not 50 quid.
They're about 50 quid.
They're not 50
wood
quid.
Wood-burning candles.
So they're woodwick.
So it makes it sound like you've got a little log fire going, and it's just gone to blow.
Sound. It makes it sound like you've got a log fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes it smell like a log fire.
And the sound. Can you not hear that? Yeah.
That one smells of magnolia.
I kept thinking I was getting text messages, but it's crackling from the candle.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
Okay. So he's just gone to blow this one out because with whatever 5 minutes into the podcast and realise you can hear it quite clearly, and it's just managed to blow over an entire picture in a frame. He's causing way more noise than the candle ever would have done.
Congratulations, well done. Anyway,
Woodwick candles, great investment. They sell, well, not investment, they're really nice.
Yeah, we should get them sponsoring the podcast. Maybe we already have.
Woodwork. If we do, I want some more.
Yeah,
please.
Fine. Anyway, yeah, we're going to ArcTangent. Me and Matt are going to ArcTangent, not together. Matt's actually going with Boss, and I'm just going.
I'm doing fun things. Yeah. You're just getting drunk.
Well, no, I'm not drunk. I've got a play.
It'll be fun for him, but just not anyone around him.
What, me?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. No, but I'll be playing.
I'm not just talking about ArcTangent. I'm just talking about life.
In general. Yeah.
This exactly. podcast, your relationship.
Yeah,
your
definitely
family.
That.
Family.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone hates me. Anyway, so this festival, fantastic for guitars, fantastic for gear, for guitar equipment. And
absolutely.
Meshuggah are going to be a real highlight for sort of really awesome guitar bands that are going to be there.
Possibly one of the best bands I've ever seen live.
Oh, have you seen them live before?
Twice at Concord 2, and it was incredible.
So who makes their signature 8 strings?
They still with Ibanez? I think they're still with Ibanez.
But
yeah.
they don't tape off.
Actually saying that, one guy has gone on like permanent hiatus. And now they have another guy who has a signature 8-string Strandberg.
Oh, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Don't they tape off the higher strings though, like the top 3 strings or something, so that they don't ring through? I thought they actually
put tape.
I don't
think so. The weird thing is that one of those bands obviously now have moved to like completely ampless on stage, so there's like nothing behind them on stage at all. And what's very weird about that is if you watch a band like that from the side, which is what I realized, and I don't think we really talked about it when I saw Slipknot a few weeks ago, that I watched from the side of the stage for the very first song. But because they have nothing on stage, no amps or anything, and they're all in it, all you can hear is the drummer and then the sound from the main front of house being reflected back into the stage.
I bet it sounds absolutely rubbish.
Yeah.
It was the weirdest thing, and I was totally unexpected because I was standing there, I was like, oh, wicked, side stage, amazing. And then I was like, wait, this sounds terrible.
Yeah. I was watching a clip from this festival, Punk Rock Holiday, with the band Pennywise playing the other day. And did you see this clip?
No.
There's a clip of Pennywise playing in Slovenia. Is that where Punk Rock Holiday is?
I think so.
In Slovenia. But yeah, basically, there's this incredible footage of, I don't know, 5,000-10,000 people watching Pennywise, and there's probably 400 people have jumped on the stage, with them. So much so that like, you can't see the guitar or the bass player. They're just hidden amongst this group of people singing along. But they've got a drone cam. They've got a drone cam that is gone from the back of the outdoor venue over the heads of all of these people, and it's just, it looks amazing and it sounds incredible right up until the point where it gets over the threshold of the front of house and it's just hovering above the stage, at which point it sounds absolutely dreadful. And then it like goes back, and then all of a sudden it sounds great again. And it's just, I was just watching it thinking, all those people are still on the stage. It sounds rubbish. It always sounds bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, I suppose people can see us. It's just like Shakespeare, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, yes, exactly so. And another band playing there, Yvette Young is going to be playing there.
Twice.
She's playing as Yvette Young, and she's playing in Covet as well. So I'll get to see her twice, which is great. And she's painted a new Ibanez Talman.
I saw that, yeah.
They've got posted in the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitarnerdsforum.
Yeah, that's where it is.
That is where it is. Because, of course, she
I didn't see it. I don't go on there anymore. I just got on Instagram.
Well, she used to play a Strandberg. She used to have a Strandberg that she painted herself that was very cool. But then she obviously started working with Ibanez, and they got her a pink sparkle Talman, which was very, very cool. Because I think she used to use Tellys. And I guess the jump from Telecaster to Strandberg It was quite a weird one.
I think that a lot of bands, because I see like Polyphia are playing and they play Ibanez and they have that really clean, like plinky, like the ultra clean sound. And yeah. I think those Talmans do that very, very well.
It's just a Telecaster pickup situation, isn't it?
With just very little bass.
Yeah, yeah, I guess that's it, because she is all tapping and stuff. She had that pink sparkle on, and now she's painted her own Talman. Was just an ash finished Talman, and now she's painted some more bird stuff on it. So looks fantastic. I'm very much looking forward to getting to see her twice, because she's an excellent guitarist. Really, really interesting. But yeah, that'll be ArcTangent Festival. So
you won't remember any of that by the time we're here next week.
I'm going to be good this year. I'm going to be really good.
Sure.
I'm going to be sensible. I'm going there for the music. Every year I go there and...
You don't remember it.
Yeah. Like there was this story where there's this band called Town Portal. Where are they from? Town Portal from Poland, I think. And I really, really like them. And everyone was talking about how good they were at ArcTangent. And I was like... I was just, you know, I was so drunk that I didn't go and see them. I was probably in one of the bars somewhere. I'm really gutted that I was so stupid.
Sick somewhere.
Yeah, just really gutted that I missed them. And then someone posted a video of them playing, and sort of right at the front in the middle of the pit was me. So, you know, and I don't remember any of that. And it looks like I had a great time. But I don't want that to happen this year. I actually want to see all these bands.
I'll be working, so...
Who's top of your list, Matty? Other than Meshuggah, I assume.
I would really like to see Black Peaks. I've seen them a couple times and they're awesome. The Friday is a pretty good three-parter in the terms of the main stage. It's 65 days of static Russian circles and battles.
Oh, yeah. That
would be pretty good.
A lot.
Do any of those bands have vocals? No. The Russian circles have... They do, I think, don't they?
No.
Is it all really instrumental?
All instrumental, yeah.
Okay.
It's instrumental, mate.
Is that why they've got them all playing at the same time? Does the PA not show up until... The vocal PA doesn't show up until the Saturday? Yeah.
They realised they couldn't hire any mics.
That's what it is. Yeah.
I want to see Bosk. I've seen Bosk a few times.
Yeah, Bosk are great.
Great for a big, heavy guitar sound band.
Yeah. I don't know. I just kind of want to have a wander around and see who's there and see what interesting things I
there are a couple of bands I'd like to talk about, but I can't because we keep this podcast clean and the names aren't appropriate to say on this podcast, but there are some really good bands playing. Anyway, moving on from our tangent, because we should talk about some equipment before we go into sort of news or mailbag or anything like that. Everytone.
It always confuses me how you separate news and what we talk about in the front bit. Because sometimes the things we talk about in the front bit are news.
Yeah, but I like to, you know.
Really gets to me.
Really. Well, I think of news as current affairs and then...
Like things that have come out. But this thing we're going to talk about, Everytone.
But it's something that I've stumbled across.
It's new, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's maybe. But it's something I stumbled across, not something that like, you know, I ripped off of a news resource.
Sure. Okay.
Everytone. So do you know what Everytone is?
Distorted tone.
Yeah.
Then you got clean tone.
Maybe. Left tone. So, right tone. Tonal eclipse.
So
of the heart.
Every tone is a tiny Bluetooth enabled audio mixer that fits inside your guitar. Inside your guitar. Which then allows you to adjust every element of the tone of your pickups.
What does that mean?
So, it's excellent. If you go to everytone.com, you can sort of see a long video.
I don't want to watch that. I want you to tell me.
Okay, fine. So, for example, you would replace the your volume and tone control. So, one of your tone controls would become a magic wheel.
This is for a Strat, you're saying? Or
no. They do it with an SG, actually, in the video, but then make the SG sound like a Stratocaster.
Okay.
So you then have a magic wheel. That's replacing one of your tone controls, or sort of a control on your guitar. And that now clicks rotations and changes colour with each rotation. So it's like a clear thing.
Okay, there's lights. I'm interested.
Yeah. So, and you would assign those. You would say, well, I want green to be my Stratocaster sound. And I want red to be my, you
classic
know,
Strat colour, that one, green.
Yeah, sure. Whatever. But you want that to be your like double humbucking sound. And then via the app, you can adjust the pickups, like gain, output, polarity, and you can change the angles of them and how they pick up, how they pick up your guitar via sort of a like a touch screen app.
It's kind of interesting. I'm still trying to get my head around how it works. So I assume, for example, if you wanted to have split coil humbuckers, you would need to have four pole humbuckers. You couldn't just use a regular set of humbuckers in there. There'd have to be something that could be coil split. But yeah, I mean, it looks interesting. I mean, would I retrofit it to anything that I own? Probably not. But
well,
then...
it doesn't require... It's not like you have to cut any extra holes in. It fits in...
No, but there's some soldering involved. There must be.
Yeah, there's soldering involved, yeah.
So, I don't know. What do you think, Matt?
Well, let me tell you about a little guitar called the Gibson Darkfire. That had Gibson's classic chameleon tone technology, which was effectively exactly the same thing.
What? I thought this was revolutionary.
No. Well, I don't know. This, like Mark said, sounds like a good idea. Their website and your description tells me nothing about how this thing actually works or what it does without watching the video, which is very annoying.
No, even then.
It's weird because then you sort of scroll down and it's like an app and then there's like some sort of weird thing you have to install. So I'm guessing it... They say no mechanical mods apart from some soldering. So I'm guessing it only works, as Mark said, on humbuckers because you need to be able to coil tap them in some way. And then it looks like it's got some sort of multi-band parametric EQ built into it as well, which obviously affects the output. So you're probably doing something there where the Gibson was actually purely altering the P90 and humbuckers, whether it was what coils it was and whether they were in and out of phase.
I wonder if you can, because on this little GIF they've got here of like the app being used, it looks like there's a strat involved. So I wonder if you can use single coils, but...
Well, certainly in the videos they show a strat and they show a an SG.
So essentially what it's giving you is like the power of Fender's S1, but in an app.
For F models, each folder has 5 tone patches, which you select using your existing 5-way selector switch. Only now it's wired to the every tone module. Right. And for G models, you have 3 tone patches per folder.
Got it.
Matching the 3-way switch.
Yes, that makes sense to me. Oh. So 3 tone matches per folder. So does that mean that you have your...
So on a Strat, I assume you would have 15.
Yeah, but how does that work with the magic wheel? I'm guessing that there's 3 different colours, and then within that, you have 3 different patches. Yeah.
Same as the Gibson, basically. 15.
Right.
Three different colours, and then you obviously like push it or something, and you get extra. So, or like that Neurotronics thing I was talking about, that MIDI thing from last week.
So is the module... It's synced, it's linked via Bluetooth to the magic knob?
To the whole guitar, basically.
The module sits inside the guitar.
But I don't think it physically does anything to your pickups. Like, the little image is showing pickup gain increasing. And I'm like, I'm sure that can't be the case because you can't physically alter the gain of one pickup. So I think the module has some sort of processing built into it.
Yeah, it's a bit weird. Well, no, but because you're not plugging into... Oh, yeah, wait, so how... I guess you're getting audio out of the app, right?
But here's the thing.
No,
here's the thing. When he's talking about it in the video, he's like... he's like, unlike digital effects, there is nothing digital about every tone. It is all analog.
That's how he talks. So I think I kind of get it. So basically, like it says, it's a mixer. So you're, I assume, one of the pins on this circuit board that you put inside the guitar goes to your output jack. So the pickups are coming in to the output, to the pins that are on the circuit board, and then the other pins go to the output jack. And what this is doing is allowing you to mix the pickups individually. But like you say, is there, for example, like an amp in there that allows you to boost pickup gain? Well, I can understand if it's taking it away.
It's got independent gain control per channel / coil, multi-band parametric EQ, and variable phase, plus an app-controlled master gain and an onboard master volume. So looking at that circuit board, if you were literally just... If that was a mixer, it wouldn't need to be that complicated. So I think it's got something built into the circuit board that allows you to do some other stuff. like yeah. flip the face, for example.
Yes, yeah. which is one of the things.
Yeah, there must be some, although they kind of claim there's no DSP involved. Yeah, it seems weird that you'd be able to add gain. There must be amps per channel on there that allow you to basically add gain.
Yeah, because also it needs power somehow, surely.
That is also true. So you must have to have a battery in the back of the guitar
as well.
Must have
to have a battery.
Yeah. Interesting little product. I'd like to know how much it is. It doesn't tell you anything about
that. No, it's still, I think, an Indiegogo or a Kickstarter or something.
I think the thing with all of these is, and, you know, we sort of spoke a bit about it with that Neurotronics thing before, and we were talking about the G-Rock guitar, the one that you can change all the pickups. It's like, it's a great idea. It's just... are you really going to use it? It's like having 100 presets on something. It's like, you're never going to save 100 presets.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think realistically, do you want more than the 5 selections available on the Strat or the 3 selections available on Les Paul? Well, they're always fun to mess around with, but ultimately, you know, and I think that quite often they aim it, I think the full name of this is they always aim it at studio people and studio session guys alike. Using this stuff, they're like, no, we've got a guitar for each job. I think this is someone who wants to just mess around a lot at home.
Thing is though, right, even the Baja Tele, right, it's yeah. got what, 6 pickup selections in there. You've got the 4 and then the 2 extra that you get from the S1 switch.
Yep.
Only if you use the bridge pickup, because it sounds the best. That's yeah. why I bought that guitar, because yeah. bridge pickup sounds wicked.
The neck sounds the not the neck, the fourth position sounds great as well, both pickups in series.
Yeah, fine, but just use the bridge.
Actually, no,
yeah,
it's only 5 too. It's only That is 6, yeah.
6, yeah, yeah. 6 options. And like, if you like the sound of a Strat, just get a Strat. Yeah.
I was just reading a bit more here. So it effectively gives you an active pickup. They say active pickup topology to its ultimate level by providing a full audio mixer for each coil in each pickup.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's obviously doing something when you hook them all up to those pins. So instead of one active preamp, you effectively have one for each pickup.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what I thought it... That's what it looked like to me as well. And yeah, just reading. Comes with a rechargeable battery. So I wonder whether they put something maybe on like the back plate or something like that you can plug yeah. like a USB into, or whether you have to actually physically remove the battery. It doesn't
be handy.
Say...
Which pickups is it that does that now? It's the Fishman Fluence, isn't it?
Yes.
They recharge.
Yeah. Just so you know, Joe, there's a question on their FAQ. What about bass? And the answer is... Yes, we're working on a version for bass too.
Oh, even better.
I actually like here that someone's put what's the difference between the Everytone and the Ernie Ball Game Changer, which is a guitar we haven't spoke about since launch. And they're actually like, the Game Changer has a slightly better and wider variety of sounds, but you have to obviously buy a Game Changer.
Yeah.
Wait, what's a Game Changer?
It was.
I don't remember talking about this.
It was came out 2 years ago, I think. And I think we spoke about it at the time being like, I don't know if this is going to take off. And I've not actually ever seen one in store. So I don't know if it was like a custom order only. The Reflex, it was called. The Game Changer. And it had a 5-pin MIDI output, a USB output, and an optional piezo bridge as well.
All about the piezo. So is that different from when Fender did those guitars that you could put cards in?
Everything is different to those.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I didn't understand those at all.
Matt or Mark, try and explain the Fender guitars with cards in
there's
them.
There's no point.
What were they called? It was the
Personality cards. Like Top Trumps, but you could put the Top Trumps cards in the back of the guitar.
It was great when you sold them to a customer and someone had misplaced the Personality cards, and then you were like, you're currently missing your Blender and output Personality cards.
Yeah. Just to wrap up this Everytone thing, they reckon price is going to be about £250.
Right, okay.
Just on their Facebook page, and someone has said, I'd really like to try this out. And they've commented, I've had to dismantle the prototypes for the time being. You can ask someone about his experience.
Okay, sweet.
So,
good stuff. I'm glad to bring up all this relevant stuff for us to talk about, Joe Branton.
It's very new, though. I mean, they've got less than 250 followers on Facebook.
Exactly.
So it's new.
I just want a deluxe Strat with Personality cards now.
Get it bought.
Wouldn't you just get a Variax, though, for this sort of thing?
Well, that's
a lot more money.
The big thing that they're saying there is that
they're saying it's cheap.
They're saying it's cheap, and you can retrofit it to any existing guitar. Right. And also, there is no, by the looks of things, there's no modelling involved.
Right.
You're essentially, like Matt was saying,
you're just accessing your existing pickups in a different way.
Exactly. You're basically adding an active preamp,
right.
two band EQ. Oh no, sorry, was there a full graphic on that? I can't remember. But
full graphic.
Whatever.
Full parametric.
Full parametric, sorry. You're basically adding a preamp and EQ to each of your pickups, and then you can either cut gain or boost gain, it seems, and then change the EQ for each coil of your pickups and then combine them in any way that you want. It's interesting.
Would you ever need shaping to that level?
I only ever need a telly with a bridge pickup and a P bass because those are the two best guitars ever made. Mm. And anyone who says that they're not is a total and utter moron.
Fine. Okay. All right. I think I understand what's happening here. I think it's fun. I also like
I think
the
it's a good product. I think the problem is that people, I don't know, maybe someone will get it right, but so many people have tried and they have all been unsuccessful. And I think it's just because people, you put it in your guitar and then you realize that there's only like two or three sounds that you want. And then that's it. And you end up just leaving it there. And it just gets dusty.
Good news, Matt. There is a black American Deluxe Strat with N3 pickups and personality cards on Reverb right now in the UK.
Full set of personality cards?
Well, it says full set, but...
What do you get in them?
It's got the personality card wallet, and there's only 5 of the 6 spaces are filled, so...
Because one's in the guitar.
Oh, because one's in the guitar, of course. If you always need one in the guitar, why would you need the extra space in the wallet?
For travelling, transport?
Yeah, travel.
Okay, sure. Yeah, sure.
What are the 6?
You can't travel with it in there.
They are Grumpy... Sneezy, Wheezy, Cheesy,
and Doc.
They
are right. Fader. Oh, right. I don't know.
Oh, I thought they were like Jimi Hendrix.
No. They're more like...
No.
They're not really doing that. It's just, it is essentially doing a similar thing to this product every time that we were talking about, but you can only access one of the like presets at once.
So
basically,
when you need to change mid-gig, you need to take the guitar off, whip off the back of the guitar.
That's why it comes with a fancy leather wallet that you can put the personality cards in.
Handy.
And also, I've just found that there's a Gibson Darkfire for sale. Terrible condition. Robot tuners.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's removed. £1,700.
Jeez Louise. Yes.
And the first picture is a picture of the back. So,
wow, you know, great! Yeah,
it's great listing.
There. What about Dust Tigers? Did any of those still? Are they any of
What's
those
a
still?
Dust Tiger.
Dust Tiger Dust was the one Tiger. That came out after the Darkfire.
Right.
I think we should.
But this is all
really
before
do...
the Firebird X.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
So we should really do a Patreon on just the weirdest Gibsons.
We did.
To remember
we did talk about these a couple of years ago, but I forgot.
Oh my gosh!
What?
Just the what? Price of them.
Of what? Tiger. Which one? The price
the
of
Dust
what?
Tiger.
So they're £2,000.
So what was the Dust Tiger?
The Dust Tiger. Okay, look. It looks like this, Joe. I'm going to show you a picture.
Yeah, no,
of it.
For the listeners, you need
I'm going
to
show you. I'm
so
going to show you a picture.
It's
there
a
you
flat
go.
Top Les Paul, so much like a Les Paul Junior or a Les Paul Special. I
Joe
guess.
Appears to have turned into stone. I think this guitar might be Medusa,
but with sort of a metal swirly scratch plate.
That is, it's almost like a tribally.
Yeah, it's a metal tribal. Do you remember Traben
bases? Traben
bases. It's a bit like that. And it had two big soap bar humbuckers that were like not normal humbuckers. They were like designed specifically for this guitar. And it essentially had like pickup modeling stuff in there.
It had a guitar tuner built into one of the tone knobs.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Well, that's not as bad as, was it Epiphone that introduced the tuner built into the top of the pickup?
I think that's all right. The pickup.
I thought that was good as well. Yeah, actually, okay. That comes
by that as a third part, but no, all of the robot guitars had the tuner built into the tone.
Yeah,
wow.
And it was a exotic snakewood top with a chambered mahogany
what's
back.
This? What is it going for? These like that? It looks like ash. I know it's snakewood, but it's absolutely not a Gibson look.
This is the problem that I have with. And basically, any guitar like that's trying to do this sort of thing is. There's too much going on. Right. You know, if Gibson at the time had just come out with, here's a Les Paul Studio in wine red with gold hardware and it's got all this stuff in it. Or here's a Les Paul Studio in black with all this stuff in it. It might have stood a chance. It's the same with the Firebird X. There was too much going on.
Oh, the back of it is also tiger finish.
Yeah.
What, as in it has pictures of tigers on it?
No, it's like
striped.
No. It's like tiger striped.
I tell you what, I do like the 12th fret marker on this.
What is it?
It's like a tiger's, the front teeth of a tiger profile.
Oh, okay.
It looks good, actually. That looks really good.
Okay, let's do a bit more research, and we'll do a Patreon special 1 week on the Gibson Darkfire.
So what is the story arc? Darkfire, then Dust Tiger, and then X.
No, at one point, there was the digital Les Paul, which probably you guys don't even remember, which was a Les Paul that had a Ethernet recording output on it.
Oh, yeah.
That was probably the first one that I remember that had something weird. Then
the HD6X Pro Digital Les Paul.
That's the one.
That is a great name.
Have you got a year on
Rolls
that?
Rolls off the tongue.
2008.
There we go. So I think
NAMM 2008.
Yeah, I've got a feeling that was the first year they start messing around with this stuff.
No, because the robots were before that.
Were they?
Yeah.
The first
robots
of 2013?
No, they were not. No. They were way before that because the Dusk Tiger and Darkfire were, I think the Dusk Tiger was 2009 and then the Darkfire was 2010.
Gibson Les Paul Robot Blue Burst 2007.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think there was a Flying V as well. I've got that in my head.
Maybe.
But I think they all came out around the same sort of time because I think that was when their relationship with Tronicle started.
Right.
And then they maybe got brought into part of Gibson brand. I don't really understand that side of it, but loads of these guitars that are coming out.
This week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast is sponsored by Celestion and their brand new Ruby Alnico guitar speaker. Purpose built to create rich, beautiful vintage tones, the Ruby oozes a richly musical warmth with mellow highs and a smooth, sophisticated mid-range that always seems to sound just right. The classic Alnico speaker shape and lush, deep red colour ensures Ruby really looks the part in your cab and guarantees that no one could possibly mistake this remarkable new guitar speaker's family history. Check out Celestion's new Ruby at retailers including Lean Business in the UK, Tube Amp Doctor in Germany, Algam in France, Eco Music in Italy, Ebelaud in Spain, plus Gear for Music, Toman and The Backshop. And in the USA, you can buy through retailers like Sweetwater, Musicians Friends, AMS, Pars Express, Loudspeakers Plus, and of course Amazon. And for more details, check out Celestion.com.
Yeah.
I like that there's a Wikipedia page for the Gibson robot guitar, and the first line is the Gibson robot guitar, aka Gore, which
what
isn't right.
Gore. Oh yeah.
Gore.
Yeah, that's weird.
Gibson robot guitar.
Yeah, that's very weird. So yeah, there is actually a timeline in here. I'm going to do this for a Patreon. I think
maybe we should do that for the Patreon. The journey of the Gibson robot.
Yeah, let's talk it over though. Let's not rush into it because I'd like to actually do a bit of proper digging and find out. There was also the Robot Explorer, which was a robot.
You said it like it was spelt with an X.
It is.
That's what I'm thinking of. Not
X hyphen Plora.
Yeah, there was
Robot Les Paul Jr.
Robot.
I don't think I ever saw one of those.
Wow.
But yeah, let's do a proper episode.
Yeah,
on these.
Dark times.
Into it.
Okay. Right. Well, anyway, we should let's see what's in our mailbag.
Mailbag.
So Matt Knight, first of all, you got something in your mailbag.
I did. This one was actually quite a funny one of how it came about because I went to SummerNAMM, as we all know, and I sat next to a gentleman and we said hello to each other and then we put our headphones on.
You talking about in the plane?
No, just in general. Right, just met a fella, put headphones on. His headphones worked, mine didn't. So I had to go in and...
So you shared an earphone each?
So we shared an earphone each and watched...
Earphone buddies.
Watched Notting Hill together.
And on the way back, we were sat in exactly the same seats. And I was like, oh, I'm guessing you're a NAMM person because we're basically on the same flights. He said, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And we're talking. And he is the main marketing person. And his dad also invented the G7th Capo.
Amazing.
So we spoke a bit about that. And I was like, oh, amazing. Like, always used to recommend G7th in the store. Definitely the
so
best capo.
Who are G7th? I don't, as a bass player, I don't know anything about capos. I've never really used them.
Surely they make a bass capo. They must.
I reckon they make a bass capo. G7 were a great capo.
Well, basically,
company.
So are they the ones that you press on as opposed to the ones that you squeeze?
They're not clamps. Yeah, they push them.
They don't have a spring. They just you push them.
Yeah, they've got a clutch that holds it in place.
Yeah.
So basically, there was a world before G7 which involved basically Shub. And then this guy's dad was like, he was an engineer, he was bored, he played a bit of guitar, and he was like, yeah, my capo design's not very good. So he just built and designed a new capo, which became the first G7 capo with the kind of clamp design that was designed that you didn't have to have a bunch of different radiuses, that you didn't have to adjust a spring.
Wait, you're supposed to have different radiuses for capos?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, because if you think,
that's why Shub do so many models is because they've got like different radiuses available.
I had no idea. I occasionally use like some sort of purple capo that I have, but I don't know what the capo is.
It'll probably be nine and a half.
On multiple things.
Yeah, in general, it's fine. But like, let's say for example, you know, you've got like a 12 string or something that's got like a particularly flat board. You wouldn't want to be using like the vintage radius capo on that.
What radius do I have on my ES175?
Probably 12.
Is this going to be okay on a 12?
Yeah, I mean, if it's, I would say...
It depends on the capo.
Like I said,
you
Joe
said
Brandon.
You said the capo is probably a 9.5.
No, I
like
said
I said,
that,
for these ones, that's the whole point of the G7 one, is that it doesn't matter.
How come? How can it not matter?
Because of the design of the bottom half and the top half. So it uses their groundbreaking adaptive radius technology coupled with their tension control system, where the Shub ones are just a screw, basically, and the top part is curved to match the radius of a fretboard. With the G7 Performance series, you don't need that. So their new Performance 3, which is the capo they sent me, works on any six-string guitar. And it's wicked. I mean, G7s were the more pricey capo when we worked in store. And I was sort of talking to him, and I was like, do you know what? I haven't bought any accessories like that for years because I worked in a store before that. And then I haven't really bought anything like that from a guitar shop since I stopped working in one. And it was good because I've only had a Shub for ages. And then as soon as I started using this one over the last week, I was like, really is a bit easier to use.
I don't know if it's like the Mark 1 or the Mark 2 of the, you know, the regular G7 capo for probably, I don't know, I probably got it the first week that we ever got them in GAC, just because I was like, this is so much better than what's available now, like the Shub or like the Rotosound ones, just like real bad. Yeah, I think it was like a Performance 1 or Performance 2.
Probably a Performance 1.
I think actually looking at a picture of a Performance 2 now, I think I've got a Performance 1. They're just so much better than any other capo.
Right.
They just work.
Are they still the only people doing a multiple radius thing, or has everyone else jumped on that now?
It's not multiple radius, and they don't really, I don't think they particularly push that. It's just, you just buy a capo and it works with basically everything.
Right.
They do, so just looking at the different models they've got, so they've got Performance 3, Performance 2, which I imagine will be phased out. And they've got different styles that do different things. You know, for example, they've got, you know, if you're finding that that's too heavy, they do a lightweight version. The only one where it really kind of separates out into like a different instrument is the 12 string, because obviously it needs to be wider. Mm-hmm. Compensated string pad for 12 string. And I think they also do one that is like more recommended for banjo, but the Heritage, I think, just loading now, Heritage, will work with basically guitar or banjo. So they just work.
They're just,
like,
very
just don't
good.
Have to worry about it.
Yeah. They were just good capos, and they come with a free lifetime warranty, which I think is great.
That's pretty good. And they're quite smart as well. They're quite like,
they're a very good looking capo.
Yeah.
Yeah. The design is very amazing. It's, big recommendation from me.
I think I remember talking to someone once, basically saying that when he first started pitching them, everyone was like, I sell Shub capos, why do I need to bother? And I think within like a year they'd become like the second biggest capo brand behind like Shub, and like very, very close to Shub.
Well, this is probably what people are going to say about every tone anyway in the future.
They're going to become the second biggest capo company.
Here you go, actually. I've just found a quite cool page on their site that kind of breaks it down. So you've got what the different capos will do. So Performance 3, they just say six string guitar. So basically any six-string guitar will work with the Performance 3. Performance 2 covers six-string guitar, classical guitar, 7.25 vintage radius. I don't know why they specify that, and they don't specify it on the Performance 3, because I think Performance 3 will do all of those anyway.
I think that's why it's the new generation.
Well, yeah, totally, yeah. Totally. And then they've got the Newport, which is the one that does six-string guitar, 12-string guitar, classical guitar, banjo and mandolin, partial five-string, and partial three-string. So by that, they mean you can, like, take it off the neck a little bit.
Wait,
and
I thought you could do that on all capos anyway, because that tends to be what I do. I keep the low... If I'm using it, the low D and then move the rest of it.
It'll do it to varying degrees, I'd imagine, whereas this is actually designed for it. And things like, you know...
Shub did a partial capo.
I can't believe I didn't know this.
Yeah. We used to sell quite a lot of them in the shop, actually. They did a partial capo. They did. You could... and I mean, Mal, if we're going down the route of talking about capos...
Are you going to talk about the spider capo? Yeah, what was the spider capo?
So the spider capo was a capo that had six individual, feet.
But how many frets did it go over? Could you make a chord out of it?
Yes.
Oh, was that the idea?
It had six individual feet, so you could either do what you would expect a capo to do, so have all 6 feet down at once,
yeah.
Or you could independently...
How many frets could they do? How many distance?
Oh, it could only do one fret.
Oh, so you could, two. So
it could only do one fret, but right. But the one of the things that they talked about in their like promo stuff was, oh, here's a video of
someone using a handful
of me using two in two different places, and
right.
I remember the video being very intricate and very mad, but it was like the geezer was changing the position of the capo and changing the how many feet were down at various times, and like. It was really weird. Yeah, and he was using two spider capos and playing. It was really mad.
So the feet were easy to like lift up and get up. Did it actually do the job that well though?
I'm not sure.
How many people actually
exactly,
need.
Exactly.
Right, I understand.
But yeah, we used to do quite a lot of the Shub ones, which would do strings 2, 3, and 5 or 5, 3, and 4. So right. It missed one and then two.
Oh, it missed them in the middle.
Yeah, so
it just hang it halfway off.
But I don't really know the benefit of why you would want just those.
I guess it opens up some dadgaddy style stuff.
I guess so. Yeah.
I'm not really sure. Oh, I feel educated in the
basically,
capo
just
world.
Get a G7th capo because they're like really good.
Yeah, I'll make sure that I do.
And it's also worth pointing out that they do 18 karat gold versions.
Yes,
for the flashy people out there. And you can have it laser engraved.
Oh, how wonderful! That is wonderful news. Also on the mailbag thing, spoke about it on the most recent episode of Barchords and demonstrated some of it. I want to talk about it here because we've all had a chance to have a go on it, except for you, Matthew. I'm sorry. The Moore GE300. It is Moore's answer to the Helix and the... what are the ones?
Headrush
and the Axe FX. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And the... What's that?
Kemper.
No, that's it, isn't it? Yeah, Kemper... Headrush Helix.
Zoom.
I didn't realize how expensive
one did
it was.
One.
Hotone do one, don't they?
We had the Hotone one, didn't we?
That's it, though. No other brands do.
No others. Yeah.
And the Boss GT1000,
so,
of course.
So I'll give you some quick summary notes after having maybe 15, 20 minutes playing it earlier. Firstly, remember to turn the cab models on when using headphones, because for a long time we were playing it and thought it sounded dreadful. And it turns out that the cab models are all off by default. So,
and when you change preset... The cab models turn off again.
Well, they're independent on the presets. But I don't know if we had sort of an early model. See, I didn't use any of the presets when I was doing my demo. I just created a blank patch and then built everything from scratch on there. Which and from that side, and I think, listener, if you haven't heard it, if you go back and listen to the episode of Barchords, I did mainly basically focus on all the synth sounds because I was like, which is the opposite of what you guys were doing, because I was like, well, of course this does normal guitar sounds. I want to hear what this weird synth engine does.
See, that's where you fail, because... Surely there's varying degrees of does it do a normal guitar sound very well or not.
Oh, come on.
So you're just like, yeah, it'll do it.
Come on, a pod does a decent enough guitar sound.
Okay, well,
stuff has been able to replicate a guitar sound for like the last 15 years.
Let me finish my overview of it. So, remember to put the cab models on, because otherwise it sounds very bad. Also, weirdly, the guitar input is like set all the way up. Like the there's an input gain control.
Like I said, we've got a demo version.
Sure,
of this,
sure, I understand.
Which has probably been round like the houses.
I understand.
And goodness knows what people have done.
So
to it.
Make sure that you've got your input control set correctly. Plus points. A couple of the models sound really, really good. JCM 800 model sounds fantastic. And a couple of the other slightly more high gain models sound really good. There's some effects on there that sound really good. In fact, pretty much all the effects sound good that I
thought, especially the delays were very, very good.
Really nice. Downside is the usual downside with these things in that doing a clean to kind of broken up crunch amp doesn't sound that good.
It's always tricky to get that sort of old school sound with these sorts of things. But then you've got to think how many people looking for that sort of sound are investing in, you know, large multi effects.
Well,
like
sure. Yeah, yeah, I totally agree. But I mean, also, you know, these things are supposed to be pitched as kind of recording tools a lot of the time.
Guess so.
And a lot, and pretty much, you know, 95% of these things can't do a recorded Fender Twin or Princeton very well.
Sure.
You know?
Now, I created an AC30 sound for, and I put some tasteful Space Echo esque delay on it and a little bit of like 63 style spring reverb and recorded a sample on it. I was very happy with that.
Yeah, yeah.
But for me, all that stuff was standard. Like, I thought it was fine.
Basically went to the like circus sound straight away.
Well, it wasn't circus, but the circus sounds are actually the selling point of this product, because unlike the competition where there might be sort of like here's a synthesizer preset, or like you know, the Helix might be here's an effect we've added called lead synth, and it's sort of like a lead synth sound that you can edit a bit on, a few parameters on. What Moore have done is put a complete synth engine on there with three independent octaves, three independent LFOs, you know, three independent things. What do you call the other things? Oscillators.
Yeah.
It's that, and then you build your synth sound. Oh, and it's an arpeggiator in there as well, and so you can build your sound from scratch, and that's what makes it cool. Yeah, you could make like 1,000 different synthesizers on there.
Well, it's rather than the synth of a Helix, for example, where like you say, it's taking the dry sound and applying effectively an effect over the top of it. This is using your guitar's pitch as the trigger for an oscillator.
Yeah.
So they've taken the Boss SY300 effectively and built it into MultiFX, which does the same thing. That's the technology they're using. They're using the same thing that we use for the SY effectively.
Yeah.
Where it's an oscillator, it's a synthesizer where your guitar is the trigger, which means you don't need a special pickup. It still doesn't mean you can't do piano sounds and trumpet sounds, though, unfortunately.
Yeah, that is the downside.
When are we going to get that dream day when you don't need the hex pickup to perform the drum and trumpet sounds that you can do on some guitar sounds?
I mean, that would just be the dream.
That is what I want.
Yeah, that's what everyone wants. And Matt hinted at it a little bit at the start of this. My final, not my final takeaway as such, but one point that I thought was a bit of a downside is that it is quite expensive. It's in the same price range roughly as a Helix LT.
Yeah, £650, so it's £100 less than an LT. But, you know, for £100 with Line 6, what you're doing is you're buying into an awful lot of heritage and
I think in terms of just the actual package, in terms of like the build quality and stuff, the Helix feels really stage worthy, like you could chuck it around, and the Moor feels fine, you know, it's metal chassis and stuff, and
it
feels
really good,
solid, but everything kind of feels a little too compact.
Well,
and
it's kind of not a downside. I think it's the Moor is an excellent product, but when you're £100 away from the market leader of this sort of thing, it's just a little bit. It's a little bit close.
Yeah. The great thing about Moore stuff, you know, historically has been you can get, you know, the whatever it is, Electro-Harmonix octave sound, but it costs you like 30 quid or something.
Exactly. Yeah.
That is...
The pricing is odd with this one, I do agree. Yeah. I do agree. It's very different. Obviously, the thing that came before was the GE200, and this is a completely revoiced version of it. But yeah, £100 is a little close. Still, fantastic sounding product. Let's do some news.
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 So first up in the news, I think we should carry on talking about things that model the sounds of other things. Oh, there was definitely a segue in there somewhere. I'm not sure. Mark Packham, talk to me about the Electroharmonix B9.
You mean B9?
That's what I said.
Bass, how low can you go? Electroharmonix bring a new 9 series pedal to the, well...
So what series, have they got? The Key 9, the C9.
Mel 9.
Mel 9.
B9.
Mel C.
That's the new one.
No, there's the B9, the C9.
Yeah, this is the B9.
Oh, this is the bass 9.
Oh, this is the bass 9.
The B9 was the first one, then the C9,
yeah,
then the Key 9, then the Synth 9, then the Mel 9.
Was the Mel 9 late?
And then now the bass 9.
So,
I think.
9 sounds, all modelling different...
No sounds?
Nine, yes.
What's the point of it then?
No, there are sounds
on
there.
Oh, okay, how many?
Suddenly speaking German, there's 8 plus 1. and yeah, what it's doing, much like the other pedals in the series, is modelling 9 different sounds from different instruments. In this case, they're obviously taking on the bass guitar.
Right, so it's all just organic bass sounds?
No. So what you've got are, I'll run down the list.
Run me down.
And there's some notable exceptions here, which I personally agree with. Number 1, precision bass. What do you think comes next? Number 2.
Jazz bass.
So, you know, you got precision, number one.
Now the greatest instrument ever invented.
Yeah, one of the best inventions by a human being.
But then, of course, in 1960, Leo Fender made a better version of the P bass, which was, you know, inspired genuine fixes that people wanted on his original.
What's that?
Design.
He did.
And I didn't like it. It kind of lasted very long.
He did. And that's why number 2 on this Electroharmonix pedal is the Dan Electro Longhorn. So basically, that is on there because it's modelled after Mike Matthews' own personal Dan Electro Longhorn.
That's great.
really?
Yeah, apparently
so. Of course
so.
Mike Matthews plays a Longhorn.
You've got a... and it's a 6-string Longhorn as well, so it's like baritone sound.
Right.
So it's kind of classic bass 6 sound,
right,
I think.
Okay. So really clicky.
Yeah, indeed. Then you've got fretless, and on there is both a an electric and stand up bass the fretless.
So you can play Take a Walk on a Wild Side.
Yes, indeed. Indeed.
So all that's going to be is just like a slow gear.
No, not necessarily, because like with all these things, like from the rest of this 9 series, they're using kind of synth stuff going on there as well to actually kind of recreate the sounds. So a note on it in general. I'll run through the rest of the sounds in a minute. But the precision bass on this sounds very good. It doesn't sound good enough that you could record it and have people think it was a precision.
But if you were in a one guitar band.
Exactly that. Yeah, exactly that. And actually that plays into one of the sounds later on, but we'll get to that in a second. So sound 4 is synth, which is based on the Taurus synth. Okay. Which is a famous famous bass synth. Virtual, I'll read the description, lets the user adjust the bass's body density and neck length of a variety of bass sounds.
Okay. So basically the way this is set up is you've got 5 controls. The main control, which allows you to switch between the 9 different sounds.
Yep.
Then you've got independent volumes for your dry signal and for the affected signal, and then you've got control 1 and control 2,
which do different things depending on what
setting you're on. I assume that control 1 and control 2 on virtual, control 1 adjusts the body density and control 2 adjusts the neck length.
Exactly. Okay, that
makes sense.
Next preset is Bowed, so what they call a classic Bowed bass.
Oh,
Bowed Banton.
Bowed
classic Bowed Banton.
Bowed to Banton,
which I imagine is probably the fretless sound with a slow gear effect at the start because it will give you that bowed. The next preset is actually really interesting, the split bass. So the idea behind this is any note lower than F sharp third or F sharp three even has the effect added to it, and anything above that does not, and you just get the clean sound.
So I guess this,
where's F sharp?
It's on the bass,
but you're playing a guitar. Where's that? That's like the second fret.
Yes.
No, that might not be F sharp 3.
No. It's up from there. So basically, as far as I watched some demos, and pretty much anything on the bottom 3 strings, it gives you the bass sound.
Oh, I see.
Unless you're playing up the neck. So, that would be really useful, because obviously then you also get those sent out to the two different outputs. So yeah, if you're in a one guitar band, you could send the bass parts out to the...
That's really good. Yeah, that's a lovely touch.
Indeed, exactly that. And then obviously the guitar parts would come out.
It seems very intuitive.
It's a cool little pedal. So the last two sounds are 303, which is a polyphonic salute to the sought-after Roland TB-303 vintage bass synth.
Oh, lovely.
And then the last one is Flip Flop, inspired by EHX's Octave Multiplexer. It provides 70s-style, logic-driven sub-octave generator that tracks without glitches. So it's like an octave down effect. And yeah, hopefully it gives that kind of weird, squelchy 70s octave multiplexer sound.
Oh, that's cool.
But watch the demo, because I was actually very impressed by the precision. I was kind of thinking, this is, you know, it's going to be a bit gimmicky. But the precision sounds good.
I think there are plenty of one guitar bands out there who, like, you know, I know a couple who just send like the second part of their signal, they just send it through a POG into an ABY that will go out into either just a bass DI going to front of house, or some of them, you know, bring along a separate bass amp. This is a really great solution to give some authenticity to that sort of sound.
This will then, you know, I guess the key feature on here for that kind of setup is the split bass setting, where you can send the bass notes out to a different output.
So on that note, F sharp 3 is the fourth fret on the D string.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Yeah.
Anything lower than that will come through. Yeah, that makes sense.
So basically anything on your bottom two strings.
Cool. And if you're playing a D chord, you'll get a low D as well.
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah, definitely.
So I think it's really cool. I think it's really interesting. I'm keen to see how it works. I mean, all of the 9 series has been really good.
What do they do next? Well, where do they go from here? An Electro Harmonix Helix.
I don't want that. There's too many of these. Like,
I don't think they'll do that.
I don't think they will.
No, it's obviously not their bag.
No.
Have they ever done any sort of like...
Well, don't forget, they did that big thing recently. They did that big switcher, didn't they?
But it's a switcher.
Yeah, but it was still a bit weird for them. Didn't you think it was weird for them?
No, I think they just realised that people are buying switchers. But they've never done... Like, they've done stuff like, I guess, like the Holy Stain... Was it that had like multiple effects in there?
Yeah, and they did the like the Green Onions. That's got two. That's got two pedals.
They've done like up to
they've
four.
Done things like
I think.
That, and they did a load of bass preamps. Things like the Battalion that has like a handful of stuff in them.
Yeah, yeah.
They've never done what I would class as a multi effects. I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on how. I mean, what was the super. Super Ego, that was three pedals, wasn't it? That was three of their pedals.
That's true, yeah.
Super Ego was a reverb, a chorus, and a something else. I can't remember.
No, you're thinking of the epitome.
Oh, I am. The epitome. Yeah, you're right. I am.
Also, just popping on their website, because I was like, I'll have a quick look through. One thing we didn't talk about, which I think came out this week, which I've not seen much about, is the Mod 11.
Which was their...
They're kind of Ocean's 11, but for modulation effects.
I didn't know about that.
The reason for that is it hasn't officially been announced yet. So
it's on their website.
Oh, is it? Is it now
it's
on there?
On their website.
Yeah, it's on their website from last week. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, fine.
I don't even think we've got a press release about this one.
Because I know that...
They make so many pedals now, they just sort of fall out.
They don't even notice. Oh, we dropped one.
Just fall out.
fell on the floor. Fell out of Mike's back pocket.
So Mod 11, you've got... and this is another one. I mean, this is a... The artwork is mad. It looks like DS9.
Yeah,
it looks like a space station. Okay, so the 11 modulation effects are tremolo, harmonic tremolo, vibrato, univibe, chorus, rotary, flange, through zero flanger, a flanger effect that crosses through the zero point of the sweep when modulated, blah, 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 blah. Okay, fine. Phase. So you can choose from 4, 6, or 8 stage phaser. That's cool. Pitch shifter and filter effects.
Yeah. So this is like...
And it's got momentary switch.
Always like that.
Does it have a momentary switch?
Oh, I don't know. You just
told
me.
It says a momentary mode.
Oh, yeah, that would do.
So
yeah.
I wonder how that works.
So there's a light on the middle. Oh, no, it's a button on the middle that says mode. So you can switch that on.
That is because if you look, the volume control... also is color.
Yeah.
So I assume when you hold down the mode, it switches between the mode button switches between that control between volume and color.
I see.
Maybe. I'm not sure
that
that's
would
true.
Make complete sense to me. That I can't see why else there would be two descriptors underneath one knob unless
it just changes depending on which preset you're on.
No, it's probably the mode thing.
Yeah, I think it's the mode thing.
Well, we shall see.
I guess if it was me,
I would not design it like
that. It gives you access to powerful yet intuitive hidden parameters accessible through its secondary knob mode, which gives you even greater control over its effects. That says to me, I'm correct and you're an idiot.
We'll see. I'm going to watch the video.
Well, I'm correct and you're an idiot.
Well, it certainly sounds exciting. Another new, especially after how good the Ocean's
11.
Just get those two pedals and then you're done. That's all you need.
Yeah, 11, yeah.
That's all the pedals.
Yeah.
Got 11 modulations and 11... What was it?
22 pedals.
Was it delay and reverb on the Ocean's 11?
Hmm? It's actually way more... The mode control on that is way more in depth than I thought it would. I'm actually just reading the manual here.
Of course he is.
So if you're on the phaser, the mode button goes between 4-stage, 6-stage, or 8-stage phaser, for example. Or if you go on harmonic tremolo, you get 3 different types of harmonic tremolo. The univibe goes between chorus and vibrato. So actually, you've got way more than just 11 effects on there.
Like 15.
Cool. And
we should know that already because that is exactly the same as on the Ocean's 11. Does exactly the same thing.
I never really messed around with the Ocean's
11.
Did we
ever get one? I don't think we did.
No, we didn't get one. Like, I messed around with one a bit at GAC, but to be honest, it was at a time when I think a lot of other really good reverbs had come out quite close to that. I think maybe the Hall of Fame 2 had just landed. Like, there was a load of other stuff. Like, maybe the RV6 had just come out. There was just too many other brands where I was like, I prefer and trust more the reverb that these other companies are putting out.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess because the Ocean's 11 came out just after the Canyon, which was I guess their delay version of this. In a large sense.
I didn't realize on their website, Electromonics have got just like an A to Z list of all, not an A to Z list, but a list of all the pedals that they do.
We did a podcast on it once
because we were guessing how many compressors they had.
It's so many.
Yeah, it's so many.
Even so many. The bass pedals, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12,
great
13,
radio.
14,
great
15,
man
16.
Counts.
Six. They do 16.
One bass pedal.
They do 16 bass pedals.
Two bass pedals. Right,
that's, yeah. And that's not even including the guitar pedals that you could use on bass.
Oh. Yeah, like the Clockworks.
Yeah.
And not the even Crying Wah.
Indeed.
And the EHX. I'm just reading pedals now.
I think we should get one of these. I'm really into it. I'm reading the manual. I'm like, this sounds wicked. Like, you can modulate the pitch sound so it can go up and down in pitch like a little rhythm, like a slicer. The tap in, you can use it to control speeds on like the Leslie sounds and stuff, which I think is quite cool. So you can go between fast and slow.
Did we ever try the Mod Rex?
No,
you ever get one of those?
We didn't.
Because that was a slicer type pedal, wasn't
it? Yeah, we never got one of those.
An SL type pedal.
Yeah.
Is that the way to describe these things?
There's just too many electro-harmonics pedals. There's just, I can't keep count. Can't keep up.
Well, anyway, regardless, that actually brings us to the end of this week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. We've made it a whole one product into the news.
I like this. There's products that have been on this for about a month.
Yeah, I know.
We should finish the news in the Patreon this way. We need to clear this news.
Yeah, we do. We're going to talk about the rest of this news over in the Patreon, where for as little as $1 a month, you can support the podcast. $1 a month gets you the regular episode ad-free and early, or $5 a month gets you the Patreon special episode and a ton of more things. $10 a month makes you an executive producer and gets your name read out in one breath by me. I still haven't failed, but we have had an extra backer this week, which has put the amount of names that I've got to read up to 62.
Yes, 62 names in one breath. That's a lot.
Do you reckon your ability to read names out in one breath could be a transferable skill into a different career.
Can he win a Guinness World Record?
Well, I was thinking like maybe free diving. Do you reckon you'd be any good at free diving?
Sure. What's free diving?
He's good at free loading, so maybe.
Free diving is where you just swim down,
right,
with no oxygen or anything.
Like the kid in that credit card advert that gets the pearl.
Sure.
Yeah.
God, I remember that advert.
Thank you.
Was that 20 years ago?
Yes, it was. Vintage adverts. I know my vintage adverts.
Yeah, I reckon you'd be a good free diver. I think you should give it a go.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Was it Switch?
Or tonight?
MasterCard. I feel like it was MasterCard.
I'm sorry,
Switch.
We're not advertising
Switch
these.
Was always like in a...
I don't even know if that exists anymore.
No,
it
definitely doesn't.
Switch was like... It was always looked a bit seedy. It was always under a bridge somewhere. That was
under a bridge.
The Switch adverts
were
under
Switch
a bridge.
The Switch debit card was a brand in the United Kingdom from 1988 until 2002. It was then merged with Maestro, which is owned by MasterCard.
There we go.
There you go. Okay. Maestro. Anyway, ready?
Okay.
But potentially the last one. All right.
I hope you fail.
Me too.
Maybe we should just sit here in silence and not do any backing.
Okay,
and
fine.
Just listen to him go. Okay. I'm up for it. If this is the last one ever.
Here you go. You ready?
We'll just sit back and enjoy the splendor.
I'm going to pull up the list of names and just really just take it in.
Take it
just really
take it in. Take
scroll
it in.
Down okay. the list at the same time he's saying them and really
okay.
enjoy it.
All right, here we go.
I think at the same time we should read the names out, but with breaths.
No, that's too
No,
mean.
No. People okay. need to. People
just
need
him,
to.
Let him do it.
You've got a microphone there.
It might be the last one ever.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Here we go.
He's psyching himself up.
Yeah.
He's doing a little stretch.
Thank you.
He's doing that thing where you pretend to click your neck, even though it hasn't clicked.
I'm just patting myself as well. Did you ever watch? What was it called? A Thunder in Paradise with Hulk Hogan.
I have seen that. Whenever unsurprisingly, I have seen that.
Whenever he used to go diving without...
Free diving?
Yeah. He used to have to dive
free diving!
Under.
There we go!
Yeah, he used to pat himself. He used to slap his chest because he said it oxygenized his skin.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So he had more oxygen in his skin.
That's true. That's how it works,
yeah,
actually.
So
yeah.
That's what I'm doing
he's
now.
He's said a lot of things, Hulk Hogan.
Okay, we're ready.
Yep.
Rob Barstow, Stephen Borg, Robert Butterworth, Neil Milton, Merritt Peters, Stuart Robson, Jeffrey Wax, Joshua Mitchell, Christian Lundhansen, John Pearson, John Mayer, Slowly Burning in a Dancing Room, Zach Melton, Keith Adams, Steve Ferguson, Eric Fowle, Christopher Franklin, Andy Joyce, John Anglin, Adam Royce, Chris, Jake Cutmore, Robert Cousins, Rob Gould, Scott Hamilton, Tucker Amadon, Arnie Cooper, Ross Edwards, Nate Nagel, Stephen Hench, Rob Grant, Matt Roberts, Dave Lee, Emery James Baker, Juan Correa, Aaron Sherman, Blake Wyland, Andrew Goody, Jamie Kemp, Jake Gray, Matt Bellamy, Martin Cliff, Scott Kennedy, Christopher Loseth, Hans Ams, Robin Smith, Derek Rich, Chris Connors, Rob Nordwick, Duncan Watson, Ed Bentley, Steve Merkel, Michael McVeigh, Carlos Mancha, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Blair Tom, Scott O'Brien, Laurie Anstis, Paul Corrigan, Will Clare, Moo Gravett, Phil Thompson, Adrian Day, Ken Sayers, Matthew King, Scott Jane, Sean O'Rourke, Christopher Wolf McCuppinson.
We need one more. There needs to be one more on the list because you looked absolutely broken at the end of that.
It was when the foot started tapping.
Yeah, the foot.
When
the
foot started
tapping. I
don't
know if the mic sort of picked that up, but like about halfway through, he sort of started like slapping his fly.
Slapping his what?
His fly. Oh. His thigh and like tapping it to like, I don't know what that does.
I feel like my eyes were swelling out of my head.
You've gone really watery on the eyes. I think one more.
I could tell that you were finding it difficult because you didn't say, "Hands arms," which is how you normally
you
do.
You just powered through.
Yeah. One thing I did notice though is, and I've been meaning to point this out, you refer to Andrew Good
as Andrew Goody.
Goody.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
he has an E at the end
yeah,
of his
no,
name.
Yeah, no,
which
do.
Isn't how that word is
no,
pronounced.
No. If he wants to correct me, he can correct me, but he never has. So I'm sticking with it. He can have that name.
I think maybe one more, but definitely two more will get you.
Yeah.
We should do something.
I don't know. We've been saying this for literal months.
I just have to keep trying harder every time there's an extra
name. Yeah, that's
name.
The thing.
That's
he
the
is
thing.
Looking... Like, when it was fairly long, when it was about, like, 30 people, you were, like, getting through it and you were like, yeah, that's pretty hard work. And now it's, what, 62, did you say?
62, yeah.
You're... you really look bad.
Yeah, there's no, I can't be fun with it.
Yeah, but
it
what
anymore?
About like, when he finishes reading
sure,
the...
Sure, sure, okay, yeah, right. I mean, yeah, yeah. No, that's the thing. All the fun has gone, but I love that. I don't want this to be fun for you. I want this to be absolutely punishing.
I don't look forward to it anymore.
No, I look forward to seeing you because your face changes. Yeah. You look. You go like Arnie in Total Recall when his eyes are bulging.
On Mars. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
See,
yeah.
But I also kind of think that he's like a boiled frog. I just don't think he will notice. I think he'll just collapse. Right. I don't think you'll take a breath. I think you'll just keep going until you collapse.
Yeah.
I think one or two more and we'll be getting into some seriously dangerous territory.
Have you ever got to the point where the room starts closing in?
No, it gets a little hazy around the edges, okay. But it's
you were very red today.
Yeah, that was I feel like I only just made that. Anyway, follow us on Instagram at Twitter at Guitar Nerds. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/Guitar Nerds forums. Subscribe to us on YouTube at youtube.com/Guitar Nerds. That's it for this week. We'll be continuing over on the Patreon. Farewell.
Cheers, gang.
Bye-bye. Bye.